Rebecca, thank you so much for this morning again. As we come to your truth, come to your word, to hear from you, God, Father, we long to come to you. Not just attending service, not just listening to sermon, but Lord, through this time, we long to come to you, meet with you, encounter with you. Oh God, through the Holy Spirit, that would just show us how to come to you in a genuine way. Not in the way that we always do, but in a special way. Father, help us to come to you and encounter with you. Come to you in our brokenness. Come to you in our humility. And come to you in faith. Oh Father God, would you grant us this grace this morning? May you touch our hearts with yours. May you show us who you are. Father God, you said, come to me, all who are weary, all who are heavy laden. Oh, Father God, we want to come to you. We long to sit at your feet this morning and listen to you. We come to you as students, not as teachers. We come to you as children, and we long to see your face. Grant us this grace, O God. And in Jesus' name, amen. All throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus meeting with different kinds of people. And he literally met with them one by one. When they encountered with him, out of that encounter, they came to believe in him. Throughout the Gospels, that's what happens multiple times. That Jesus meets with people, encounters with them, and they come to believe in him, accept him. It is so interesting to see in many of today's church these days, we try to do this in backwards. We teach people to believe in him first so that they will encounter with him someday, or we don't even teach you about the need of or the meaning of encountering with him. We teach them the knowledge of the Bible, we teach them the doctrines, we teach them cultural and or moral expectation of Christians, but not really showing them the absolute need that we need to encounter with Christ. Maybe some of us do not even understand what we talk about, encountering with Jesus. What does that mean? What do you mean by that? When we keep on neglecting the need for genuine encounter with Jesus Christ, the experience of being born again, the result of doing that is that we will produce all these professing Christians who have never encountered with Jesus. We will consider everyone, as long as they say the right words, as long as they attend service, fellowship, or Sunday school, we just regard them as truly born-again Christians who have encountered with Jesus Christ when they are not born again at all. This produces people who say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? But Jesus answered, I never knew you. You're supposed to have the same experience of encountering with Christ as we see throughout the Gospels. As we see throughout the Gospels, those people who actually met with Jesus in a physical way, Christianity tells us that we are supposed to have the same experience now through the Holy Spirit. The truth doesn't change. The encounter with Jesus must happen in order for us to be truly born again, truly know Jesus, and be known by him. We need to be born again, and the purpose of all of our ministry must for this continual experience of encountering with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Being born again, encountering with Christ is not optional. If you don't have this experience in your life, According to Jesus, you're not a Christian. You're not the child of God. You're not saved. You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Unless you actually encounter with Christ through the Holy Spirit. Unless your hearts and your mind are born again and created new. Unless you become a new creation in Christ. You're not a Christian. Now this is why throughout the Gospels, Jesus opens up his heart and calls us so many times, come to me, come to me, come meet with me, come encounter with me. And this is how Jesus warns us in John 5. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. It means that you can read the Bible but not come to Jesus. You can study the Word of God and not come to Jesus. You can pray but not come to Jesus. You can serve but not come to Jesus. You can even be a pastor but not come to Jesus. You can come to church, service, various meetings, fellowship, whatever you call it, but not come to Jesus. And we got to understand this difference, doing all of those things for Jesus and actually coming to Him. The perfect example we see is the Mary and Martha story, right? And you can, in that story, you can see that you can be distracted by the things that you're actually doing for Jesus. So ironical. You lose the whole point of serving, whole point of believing, whole point of coming to church, whole point of reading the Bible, whole point of praying, which is coming to Jesus Himself. How'd you react if Jesus shows up on Sunday to our church today? Just imagine that we're all in this physical space together, worshiping the Lord. All of a sudden, Jesus comes through the door. How'd you react? Are we going to give him the bulletin and have him sit in the pews and preach to him? Counting the number of attendance? Having Sunday school? The answer is no. When he shows up, I mean in a physical way, our service will be canceled. Right? All the volunteers can rest on that day. We're going to run to him and sit at his feet and listen to him like Mary did. We'll not need any pastors on that day. Why? We don't need any preaching because we have Him now. We have the very Word of God in flesh. Everyone can rest, and that's what happens when He shows up. That's what happens when we come to Jesus. That's what happens. I mean, when that happens, when we truly understand the purpose of everything that we do, our service will change. Our church will change. Our community will change. Our fellowships will change. When we truly understand the reason why we gather every week like this, is to come to Jesus. You might be listening to this message right now on Zoom, right now, from your place. You might be totally zoned out, maybe not really focusing on this. It means that you are there, but you're not really there. When we gather, whenever we come to worship Him, we literally come to worship Him. Not primarily doing some things for Him, but worship Him. It's all about Him. It has to be all about Him. What we need to experience in every service is coming to Him, tasting His goodness, meeting with Him, encountering with Him. That's the whole purpose of our Sunday service. That's the whole purpose. And if that's not happening, there's a serious problem with us individually or with our church. This is our primary function. Church community is a meeting place for God and us. If that's not happening, something's wrong. Seriously wrong with us. The question then we're going to answer together through this message is this. I long to come to Jesus. I long to encounter with Him. But how do I do it? That's the question that we're going to answer together as Jesus reveals it to us. How do we come to Jesus? And I'll share with you three ways to come to Jesus in this message that are in our passage today in Matthew 11. Here's my first point. Come to Him. How do you come to Jesus? Come to Him in brokenness. Come to Him in brokenness. When Jesus met with this woman at the well in John 4, He shows us we must come to Him as we are. When the woman was asking for the living water that will not make her thirsty again, Jesus' answer was, bring your husband. Bring your husband. What does this mean? Well, we know about this background of the stories, what kind of woman she was. You know the story, right? What Jesus meant here was that Jesus wanted the woman to bring the real version of herself. Bring all of your histories. Bring all of your brokenness. Bring all of your bitterness. Bring all of your unforgiveness. Bring all of your anger. Bring all of your problems. Bring all of your unanswered questions. Bring all of you, not a part of you. That's what Jesus meant when He said, bring your husband, woman, if you want to drink this water. If you want to come to Me. Not just the best version of you, but all of you. When you labor and are heavy laden, come to Me. All who are burdens, all who are labor heavy laden, all who are your tired, physically tired, spiritually tired, emotionally tired, bring all of it to Me, Jesus is saying. I want to meet with you. Not a prettier version of you, but the real version of you, because what I want to provide to you is real. And I want to be real to you. So I want you to be real to Me. And this is the reason why some of us cannot come to Jesus. No matter how much we read the Bible, attend services, fellowships, for years and years. This is the reason why we cannot come to Jesus sometimes. Because we are still afraid of showing ourselves to Him. We're still afraid of showing the real version of ourselves to Him. And we even do that, not just to the people, but to God. We want to look good in His eyes. Better than we are. Because we don't still believe that Jesus actually loves us. Not in the way that we think, but in the way that He tells us. So to come to Jesus, we need courage and boldness to show ourselves to Him in honesty. If you bring the best version of you, okay? Let's just imagine, okay, you bring the best version of you, and you're loved, you're accepted. That doesn't mean that your whole being is loved or accepted. Just a good version of you, just a good part of you, not your whole being. That's not kind of love that Jesus wants to give to us. A part of you was loved, not all of you. And we shouldn't believe Jesus in this way. We need to give it all. We should not hold back. We need to throw all of ourselves into the loving arms of Jesus. This is what Tim Keller said. He said, the gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dare believed. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved, accepted in Jesus Christ than we dare hope. So let me ask you this question. Do you know how much He loves you? Do you know how much God loves you? You may go like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course I know. I mean, He loves me a lot. His love is great. We sing it all the time, right? Of course I know how much He loves me. If that's the way that you answer this question, if your answer is yes, I know, then you're wrong. You're completely wrong. In Ephesians chapter 3, Apostle Paul prayed for the church of Ephesus so that they will know what the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. What does that mean? He was praying for the church who already knew Jesus, who already believed in Jesus, who already understood about the love of Christ. And what Apostle Paul was praying for the church is that, no, you gotta know more. The love that surpasses your knowledge, meaning you can't encapsulate the love of God in the box of your understanding. You can't say that you have known how much He loves you. Rather, our Christian experience, our Christian journey is continual experience of excitement and having full of wonder how much He loves us. Every day, we realize how sinful and flawed we are than we dare believed. Yet at the very same time, as Keller said, we are more loved, accepted in Jesus Christ, we dare hope. No matter how much you think you understand that this is how much God loves me, it's always more than that. Always more. And this is the ground that we have, so that we can come to Him as we are. He loves our whole being to the uttermost. For some of us who do not believe in this still, we cannot come to Jesus. When you hear from your parents, your spouse, or even your children, asking you, can we have a talk? No. When they ask you like this, that's a scary moment. That's a very scary moment. That's the moment of truth. You know, what are they gonna say? What are they thinking? What's gonna happen to our relationship? There's a lot of fear that carries. Yet, if you want a genuine relationship, you want them to truly come to you and you come to them, you gotta have that talk. And this is the kind of talk that Jesus had with the woman at the well in John 4. And this is the kind of talk that Jesus wants to have with us today. And when we start our talk with Him, soon we'll realize how this person of Jesus Christ loves us. All of our fears will be casted away in His perfect love. This is the confidence and ground that we have that enables us to come to Him in brokenness, come to Him as we are. What true freedom and rest that we can experience when we come to Him like. There's no pretending. There's no acting. I can be free. I can be truly who I am. And loved. Accepted. What confidence I can have. Here's my second point. Come to Him in humility. How do we come to Jesus? Come to Him in humility. Jesus continues to say, take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. What Jesus means here, in order for you to come to me, you gotta come to me as a humble student who's ready to learn. You gotta be ready for take my yoke upon you. You gotta be ready to learn from me. You gotta come to me. When you come to me, when you want to come to me, you gotta come to me as a student. It means that you cannot come to Jesus if you think you're already there. Prideful or arrogant people can never come to Jesus in a genuine way. They're not going to feel the need to come to Jesus, and they will always consider themselves already being there. How can you come to a place where you're already there? You cannot. Let me ask you this question again. Do you know God? Would you be able to say that you know Him? Some of us will say yes. Some of us will be more hesitant to answer that, maybe. Some of us will say, maybe no, not yet. But think about this question deeply. Do you think you can really say yes to this question? Asking you, do you know God? If you have truly understood His infinite being, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His omnipresence, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God. After beholding the infinite holiness, the God Almighty, Yahweh, seated on the throne like Isaiah saw, after beholding His glory, can you say that you know Him? Who can dare say that he knows God? This is how J.I. Packer helps us to understand. He said in his book, Knowing God, he said, not many of us, I think, would ever naturally say that we have known God. The words imply a definiteness, a matter of factness of experience to which most of us, if we are honest, have to admit that we are still strangers. We claim, perhaps, to have a testimony and can rattle off our convergence story with the best of them. We say that we know God. This, after all, is what evangelicals are expected to say. But would it occur to us to say, without hesitation, and with reference to particular events in our personal history, that we have known God? I doubt it. For I suspect that with most of us, experience of God has never become so vivid as that. The fact that Jesus tells us to learn from Him clearly means when we come to Jesus, we need to come as students who are ready to learn. Some of us cannot come to Jesus because we come to Him as teachers. This is the reason why exactly why the Pharisees could not come to Jesus in a genuine way, because they always came as teachers. There was in fact one Pharisee in the Gospel of John, John 3, one Pharisee who came to Jesus as a student and was able to encounter with Him. Because why? Because he came as a student. He was ready to learn. Was ready to experience, humbled himself down, and ready to listen to his truth and believe, ready to believe in whatever he says. Here's a word of God for us. Do not think you have seen it all or got it all. Don't lose the wonder of who God is because of your pride. You think you know it all? The fact that you feel dryness in your faith is because you're not coming to Him as students. You think you have tasted already everything, every bits of Him. Doesn't excite you, huh? And we stop asking Jesus to teach us how to pray, teach us how to serve, teach us how to live, teach us how to parent, teach us how to manage, teach us how to lead, because we think we've got it all. We encapsulate, again, the infinite God in the box of our understanding. Bible calls that pride. Are we any better than Apostle Paul then? If we think of ourselves in that way, that I've experienced many things in my life, I'm old enough to know about the meaning and purpose of life, I've looked through the gospel so many times, I've gone to theological schools and I got all the trainings that I need, then does that mean that I have fully known him? And does that mean that I have fully understood the truth? If you feel this way, my question is, then are you any better than Apostle Paul? I don't think you'll be able to say yes to that. Because he even said, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting what we experienced before, but straining forward to what lies ahead, press on toward the goal for the prize of an upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He never considered himself, even after all his amazing experiences, that he's already there. He never did that. But he pressed on, come to Jesus every day, running this race of faith, with full of wonder and expectation for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He also said, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands, I'm standing, I know, I've understood, I'm ready. I'm ready to teach all the people. Take heed. Be careful, lest he fall. If you think you have fully known God or you have known God better than the most people, if you consider yourself being there already, you can't come to Jesus. But when we come humbly in humility, with excitement and full of wonder, Lord, what are you going to say to me today? Then what excitement we can have when we come to him as students who are ready to listen what the Lord will say to us. We can only meet with the humble King when we come in humbleness, as he said, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. That's how he described himself. I'm gentle, lowly in heart. You can only come to me when you're also gentle, lowly in heart, broken in you, and you come to me in humility. We can come to Jesus only when we come to him in humility. Here's my last point. How do we come to Jesus? Come to him in faith. Come to him in faith. Now that you're ready to come to him in brokenness, come to him in humility, but the question is, where do you have to go to come to Jesus? Where is he? What's the address to his place? What's his phone number? How can I contact him? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to come to you, Jesus. Where are you? And we can see where he is in Revelation 3. Watch this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. Again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. What does this mean? It means He's already there in your life. Don't need to search for Him. He's right there. In fact, He's been always there. He's been always knocking. He's been always calling you with His tender and loving voice at the door of your life, at the door of your heart. He's been always there. Do you get this? The very reason why we can come to Him is because He has already come to us. The path that you'll take, that yoke that you'll take upon yourself to come to Jesus are easy and light, as Jesus said in our passage, because of what Jesus has already done on the cross. Because He took all the burdens and yoke on Himself, the yoke, the path that you'll take is easy and light. It means we can come to Jesus because He has already come to us. So He's ready there in our lives. It's not that we are searching for Him. It's not that you're searching for where He is. He's the one who's searching for us. Where are you? Where are you, Adam? Where are you, my child? Where are you? Here I am. Here I am. What's lacking is our faith. It's always our faith. Why can't we come to Jesus when we open up the Bible? It's because we don't actually have faith that He'll speak to us. Why can't we come to Jesus when we attend Sunday service? Because you don't have faith that God's going to actually do something for you through the service. Why can't you come to Jesus when you pray? It's because you don't have faith that He actually hears you and answers your prayer in the most amazing way. In Hebrew it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." It means that we need faith to draw near to God. We need faith to come to Jesus, who's already here with us. Jesus is already with us. He's standing at the door calling us. This verse in Revelation was for the church to hear, not a non-believer. As we know, this verse has been widely used, popular verse. We've been using this for the gospel tract, you know, evangelism tract to, you know, hand out to the non-believers, and Jesus is knocking on the door. In fact, there's a little bit, I mean, I get the point. It's a beautiful verse. But if you really look into the context of this verse was written for the church of Laodicea. It was written for the people of God, the Christians. People who already believed in Jesus. When you look into Revelation 3 about the spiritual status of church of Laodicea, you can see that they had a lukewarm faith. They were neither cold nor hot. That was a status. Their spiritual status. Is your faith like this these days? It's not that you don't believe, but it's not that you actually believe. That's where Laodicea church was. And here Jesus didn't say to them, Jesus didn't say like this, "Oh, you're just going through a hard season, so it's okay that you don't believe in me because you're dry, because I understand everything that happened to you. It's okay that you're lukewarm." He didn't say that at all. Rather, He said, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline." And He said, "So be earnest and repent." How do we respond to our lukewarmness, the lack of faith? Repentance. It is repentance. Don't be deceived by the victim spirit. Don't be deceived by the sugar-coated words. Your faith is lukewarm because you're relying on someone or something else than me. That's what Jesus is saying to us. So stop blaming, but start repenting. The church of Laodicea was saying, I'm rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. That's what exactly they said, if you look at the passage. But when Jesus saw them, he saw them as wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You say you're rich, you say you have prospered, you say that, oh, God has blessed us so much. But in fact, in the eyes of Jesus, the church was naked. The church was completely naked and far away from Christ, blind and poor and pitiful and wretched. Their wealthy budget, fancy building, their prosperity blinded them and made them spiritually naked. They never realized Jesus was no longer with them. What are you relying on today? What is our church relying on? Jesus is watching clearly. The picture is clear. The door is shut. Jesus is outside, not inside. Who drove him out there? Why is he standing outside of church door, my door? He's our King, the head of our church. He's our Lord. Jesus is standing at the door in that picture, in the passage, wanting to come in and have fellowship with us. And this door of faith, this door must be open. This door must be opened by our faith to encounter with Jesus. My brothers and sisters, the question is this. Why did we shut the door? Why did we stop believing? Why did we choose to rely on ourselves? When did we start doing that? Jesus is telling us, open your heart to me. Believe in me again. So that I may come in, have fellowship with you again. Who discouraged you? Who stole your faith? What happened in your life that you're so far away from me now? Come to me, all who are weary, all who are tired, all who are dry, come to me. Come to me again. In faith. Let's pray. Father God, yes, we long to come to you. Draw us near to you. Jesus, we open up our door again to you. Constantly, Lord, out of fear, out of lack of faith, we're shutting the door. Out of pride, sometimes we think that we could do it without you. Out of arrogance, sometimes we boast in something that is not you. We boast in even in your blessings, but totally losing the whole point of the blessing, which is you, who's the greatest blessing of all. But Father, as you are calling us this morning, come to me, all who are weary and burdensome. Come to me, come to me, come to me. Oh God, may we come to you as we are in brokenness. Come to you as students in humility. Come to you in faith, knowing that even before we come to you, you're already with us. And you have come to us. We love you, God. I pray that you would continually work in our lives as we go. And Lord, may you stir up in our hearts that every day when we wake up, that we will just long to come to you more than anything. Oh God, we want to long to come to you. And we know that you'll always embrace us, welcome us with your loving arms. Thank you for this grace. And in Jesus' name, amen.